Good morning, how are we doing?
Good morning.
Well, three people are doing great. Well, we're talking about in the fourth week of our series, The Miracle of Mercy, talking about a truth today that promises to bring freedom to every corner of your life and to every one of your relationships. It is the truth that mercy forgives. God's mercy brings forgiveness into every one of our lives. It's one of the most amazing truths that we can get a hold of. Jesus talked about these two sides. There are two sides to this truth of the fact that mercy forgives. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 12, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." In the NLT version, it puts it this way: "Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us." Jesus is teaching that the miracle of mercy brings freedom into our lives in a couple of different ways. God, forgive me. And then secondly, when you say, "I forgive you." We're going to talk about those two different types of forgiveness, those two different ways of forgiveness and how they relate to one another. Remember, our definition of mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. I don't know about you, but I need that forgiveness from God. And others need that from me sometimes. The truth of forgiveness. The fact that mercy forgives. So how does it work? How does God apply this to my life? How do I apply it to other people? We're going to dive deep this morning. Two simple truths on your outline. Go ahead and take them out. You can follow along with me as we go through this today. But just two things to talk about. The first type of forgiveness is that mercy means God forgives me. This is the greatest news ever. God is willing to give me a fresh start. God is willing to give me and you a clean slate. Remove our debt. Set us free. It's better than any inheritance we'll ever get. It's better than any cure for any disease on the face of the planet. That's how good this good news is. Right? It's incredible. You don't have to be in church for very long. Maybe this is your first time here. Maybe you've been here a few months. Maybe you've been here a long time to pick up on this problem. And the problem is that the good news. After a while, it seems like, all right, I know that, right? Some of you are sitting in your chair right now, and you know what you're thinking? You're thinking, can you just like tell me something I don't already know? Right? Rather than just being excited about this one thing that changes everything, and we just get used to it. My point is, this morning, is that forgiveness is not merely a theological fact. It is that for sure. Not discounting that, but let me ask you this morning. Do you feel forgiven? A lot of people that I talk with that come into my office and they want to talk about their life, and they tell me they simply do not feel forgiven. And here's why that bothers me. That bothers me because what that means is that you do feel what? Guilty. There's a problem when you feel guilty, but you don't feel forgiven. You hear people say all the time, "I just feel so guilty about this," or "I just feel so guilty about that." Have you ever heard someone say, "You know what, I just feel real forgiven today"? Right? Like, nobody says that. Probably should. Because it's what God has done for us and His forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness is not just an emotion, but rather a genuine experience of God's forgiveness in our lives that creates this emotion when it sinks into our heart and into our soul. And when you feel guilty, it draws you away from God. And nobody wants to be close to somebody that makes them feel guilty. But when you feel forgiven, it draws you closer to God. Because you know His love. You know His grace. You know His forgiveness. You know His mercy. So what I'd like for us to do today is just consider some facts and some truths to help us have just this understand. We understand theologically about forgiveness, but do we actually feel forgiven? Is it deep into our heart and into our soul? All right, truth number one this morning. God wants to forgive me, right? Like He wasn't forced into it. He chose to do it because of His love. One of the ways you feel forgiven is to recognize how God feels about forgiving you. Like He wants to forgive you, right? He didn't have to, right? He wants to. Nehemiah 9:17, they refused to obey, and they were not mindful of the wonders that you performed among them. But they stiffened their neck, and they appointed a leader to return to their slavery. But you are a God ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and did not forsake them. Like, they're ready, like, I'm out, right? Let's just go back to Egypt. But God's gracious answer to them, His merciful answer to the rebellion of Israel, is He is ready to forgive. What tells us there's nothing keeping God from forgiving us except for our refusal to come to Him through Jesus. So it's God's merciful response to Israel, even after they made the golden calf and worshiped it. Save them. He still provided the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, right? He guided them by His Spirit. He fed them and gave them water. He was always ready to forgive them. God is not reluctant to forgive you. He loves it. He is full of love and mercy. Micah 7 verse 18 talks about God. It says this: who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of His inheritance? He does not retain His anger forever, but He delights in steadfast love. If you're taking notes today, write down that word, delight. God would rather show us mercy. He delights in His steadfast love. He delights in showing us mercy. It's one of His like favorite things to do, right? It like makes His day to forgive you. I mean, just think for a second, some of the things that you delight in, right? What are some things that you look forward to? Like when I was a kid and we'd gather around the dinner table and somebody'd say, hey, let's go to the Mariner game, and we'd pack everything up. We'd drive downtown to the Kingdom. For those of you that are old enough to remember that, it used to be a stadium downtown Seattle that's no longer there, right? We would pack in and we'd go in and we'd watch them. We'd just get home. That was like my best night ever, right? I was delighted in that. Maybe you're older. Maybe it's a vacation spot for you, the place that you just delight in, right? You love that spot. It's Hawaii, it's Mexico, it's wherever it is you go, right? You just delight in that spot. Can I tell you this morning, the Bible says that your forgiveness is a place that delights in forgiving you. And then He forgives you and He looks back on it. Like, I just have the picture of God in heaven. He's got His phone out, right? It could be an iPhone, Android. You figure that out, right? He's just flipping through the pictures. Oh, yeah, I remember that day. I forgave that dude. That was a good day. It's a good day, right? The second truth this morning, God freely forgives me. There's not a way that we can earn forgiveness because it can't be earned. It's just a great gift. God freely gives it to me. Romans 3 verse 23, you all know it, right? For we've all sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. What's verse 24? I'll read it for you. Yet God in His grace freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. Verse 24 reminds us that you and I will never earn or deserve God's forgiveness. It is a gift of grace. Just because it's free doesn't mean that it didn't cost anything. Right? Jesus died on a cross in order to offer us this free gift of salvation. Right? He pays the price that we couldn't pay and we don't have to pay. That's what the cross of Christ is all about. And when you look at the gift, God's absolutely willing to wipe the slate clean in your life. He's willing to totally forgive everything in your life. And what would keep somebody from... And there's probably a lot of reasons, but I think there are two major ones. One is you just don't believe it, right? You simply don't believe that that possibly could be true. Even though the billions of people on this planet that God has changed their lives, you just don't believe it. You don't believe that Jesus died on a cross and that he loves you and there's forgiveness for you. The second reason is that you think that you don't deserve it. You look around at all these nice people here in church and you think if they only knew the real me and what I've done in my life, they would know that I don't deserve it. Let me just say this for a moment. If you're feeling that way right now, the people you're sitting by, those nice people in church, they're not that nice. Right? They got a story. They got their struggles, right? Because we all struggle. But I can tell you that God's forgiveness is greater than the struggle. It's greater than your sin. It's greater than your past. The grace of forgiveness is for every one of us. No one deserves it. It's a gift that God wants to give to us. And maybe you're here today. Maybe you're like, just I'm not sure about all of this. Maybe you're sitting here and you're just like going, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm forgiven. I'm just saying this morning, you can be. Right? You can be sure because this gift is given freely. And right now, you can accept that gift. Your hope and your trust in God right now, in Jesus. You don't have to bow your head. You don't have to close your eyes. You can just simply say, Jesus, I accept your free gift of forgiveness. Thank you for loving me enough to give your life for me. And so I trust in you. Right now, I just trust in you for my forgiveness. And then as freely as he gives us this gift, he sets us free. Colossians 1, 13 and 14, he, Jesus, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Right, truth number three this morning, God immediately forgives me, right? God doesn't say, you know that particular sin that you did, that one that's really bad? What's going to happen here is that you're going to have to suffer for a little bit before I can forgive you. Right? Like God doesn't say that. He immediately forgives us. There's no sin that he says that we got to wait a little while on before I forgive you, right? It just doesn't happen. And the reason it doesn't happen is because Jesus has already died on the cross, right? And because Jesus died on the cross, immediately you and I are forgiven no matter what. Isaiah 55, 7, let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to your God, for he will forgive generously. What Isaiah is trying to stir in our hearts and trying to stir in our soul is that as God's people, we need to be involved in repentance. Around and going in another direction, right? Turning from our way and going God's way. And then it says, and he will have mercy on them. What a huge promise that is. When we turn to the Lord, he'll have mercy on us. And in fact, he will abundantly and generously and quickly forgive. Number four, God completely forgives me. When God forgives, there's no, like, a part of that sin that he's not forgiven. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. He set that aside, nailing it to the cross. Right? He cancels the record. He completely annuls it as if it never happened. It is canceled. He destroyed it. It's not like God puts our sins in a file and puts it in a filing cabinet and locks it. And he's just kind of like, I'm going to pull that out in the future when I need to like rip your face. That's not what he does. Right? No, he took the file and he shreds it. God totally erased the record of our sin. It's amazing news. It's amazing forgiveness. Micah 7:19, he will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot, and you will cast all of your sins into the depths of the sea. So let me ask you this morning. If God has forgotten our sins and he's thrown them in the depths of the sea, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we recognize that grace? And the problem is, until we understand complete forgiveness, every time something bad happens in our lives, as a follower of Christ, right, we think that like God's out to get us or something. Well, like he's punishing me because of all the wrong stuff that I did. And I get it. We struggle with sin. And so we think that God's out to get us. Can I tell this one? God's not out to get us. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. We need to stop feeling like God is out to get us. God has forgiven you. And we're not talking about justice right now. We're talking about forgiveness and mercy. He could exercise his justice on every one of us, of course, right? But instead, he decides to what? Choose forgiveness. He chooses to show us mercy because he loves us. He chose love over justice, mercy over justice. Last part of James 2:13, we looked at it last week. Mercy triumphs over justice. And in some ways, it would be good just to stop right here because we're feeling pretty good about ourselves, right? My God's forgiven us. We're good. There's another part of this truth. And if we didn't talk about this part of this truth, we'd be missing out on a lot of freedom that we can have in our lives, even though this might be difficult to look at. It might be hard to deal with because every one of us has had a hurt in life by somebody else, right? And some of us that are here this morning have deep wounds. And I know it's probably even difficult for you to even talk about this. But mercy not only means that I recognize God forgives me, but mercy also means that I forgive others. So I just want to help us consider how God helps us in our struggle to forgive. And I'm going to assume this morning that we all struggle in forgiving other people in some way. And we struggle for two reasons, right? One, either we haven't been forgiven or we don't really believe we've been forgiven, because if we haven't been forgiven, then it's hard to forgive somebody else, especially in the way God intends that to happen. I don't think that's the greatest reason, though. I think the greatest reason people struggle to forgive others is the fact that we have a misunderstanding of what forgiveness really is. And there's a lot of stuff out there in the Christian community about forgiveness that I think has nothing to do with what the Bible teaches about forgiveness. Things like this, things like a person should not be forgiven until he or she asks for it, true or false. Right? Just think about it for a second. Or you haven't really forgiven until you've forgotten the offense. Or forgiving includes minimizing the offense and the pain that it caused, true or false. What do you think? Right, how about this one? Forgiveness includes restoring trust and reuniting a relationship. True or false? Last one, when I see someone hurt, it's my duty to forgive the offender. All of those are what? They're false. Every one of them. We'll take a moment just to go through these four truths about what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not conditional. Number one, other people don't have to earn your forgiveness before you forgive them. They don't even have to ask for it. If they have to ask for it, they probably won't ask for it just to make you miserable, probably. That's the way people are, right? Ephesians 4, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So other people don't have to earn our forgiveness any more than we can earn our own forgiveness from God. Forgiveness is absolutely unconditional. There is no sin. There's nothing that we do not forgive. And I know that for a lot of us is a challenging thought. Most of you know the basic story of Corrie Ten Boom. She was a prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp, and after it was all over, she traveled Europe telling people about the good news of God's love and in the midst of all the devastation that she experienced in her life. And then something happened to her. And I just want to read you her story a little bit. She writes this. I was in a church in Munich, and I saw a balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat. A brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I'd just spoken. It was 1947. I come from Holland to a defeated Germany with a message that God forgives. And that's when I saw him working his way forward against the others. And one moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, and the next a blue uniform and a visor cap with a skull and crossbones, and it came back with a rush. The huge room at the concentration camp called Ravensbrück, with its harsh overhead lights and pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, and the shame of walking naked past this man. The man who was making his way forward had been a guard. Now he was in front of me, and he thrust out his hand. A fine message, Fortaline. How good it is to know that you can say that our sins were at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than to take his hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner amongst thousands of women? But I remembered him. The leather crop swinging from his belt. I was face to face with one of my captors. And my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I've become a Christian, and I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things that I did there. But I'd like to hear it from your lips as well, Fräulein. Again, the hand came out. Will you forgive me? I stood there. Whose sins had again and again been forgiven, and I could not forgive. My sister Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but it seemed to have been hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing that I ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. I knew that not only as a commandment of God, but also as a daily experience. I had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those that were able to forgive their former enemies were also able to return outside to the outside world to rebuild their lives, no matter what their physical scars were. But those who nursed bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple and as horrible as that. Still, I stood there with a coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. Would you supply the feeling? And so mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one that was outstretched to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. A current started in my shoulder and raced down my arm, and it sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried, with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hand. And the former guard and the former prisoner, I've never known God's love so intensely as I did that. See, it's when you hear a story like that, it is easy to feel guilty about our struggles with forgiveness. Because I don't know about you, that's tough stuff. The problem with feeling guilty is our forgiveness will only last. Motivator for forgiveness, right? They just don't go well together. So instead of doing that, what we should do is see God in the story. God has the power to forgive and the strength to forgive no matter what has happened in your life. And you don't need Corrie Ten Boom's strength. That's not your experience. But you do need your particular strength to forgive in your particular experience. God has the power to give you the strength that you need to forgive. And forgiveness is unconditional towards others because of God's power of forgiveness towards us. And there's another truth about forgiveness, what the Bible teaches, and this can be a tough one. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness does not mean you forget what happened. I know we have this phrase in our culture that says forgive and forget. It's just simply not biblical. How do you forget? You can't forget anything. How do you forget the pain that you've gone through? Right? It's just not going to happen. And so what happens is you think you can't forgive because you can't forget. Let me tell you, forgiveness is not forgetting. There are some verses in the Bible that speak to this. 2 Timothy 4, 14 and 15 says this: "Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message." This is Paul being nice. Right, we just read him saying this guy, Alexander, right? Like he did harm to the ministry. He like jacked me up here. Commentaries think that Alexander was the guy responsible for putting Paul back in prison. He did some harm. Paul says God's going to repay him for what he did. Now I believe that Paul forgave Alexander. But because he forgave him doesn't mean that he forgot the hurt caused by him. Notice Paul doesn't say he's going to get even with Alexander. He's saying, what? I'm handing it over to God. That's probably why we know that Paul forgave him. The truth is that we need to forgive. We need to let it go. We need to put it in God's hands. Let God heal those memories only like he can. Our responsibility is to choose to forgive. Right, there's another truth in these verses that we just looked at about forgiveness. Truth number three would be forgiveness is not trusting the person again. First part of verse 15, when Paul says, beware of him yourself. Paul's telling this to Timothy about Alexander. He doesn't say give him a second chance. He's like, no, this guy hurt. He hurt the ministry. This is a bad dude. You need to be on your guard against him. He's forgiven him, but he's not about to trust him. Right? Trust has to be earned. And there are cases when your forgiveness of someone has to be there, but you should absolutely not trust them back into your life. Right? Just because of the way that they hurt you. So forgiveness is not trusting. And so what is it? Truth number four, forgiveness is releasing it to God. It's exactly what Paul did. As we just talked about, when somebody has hurt you, how do you start to heal? Well, we know revenge doesn't work, right? Repayment doesn't work. Unforgiveness creates an undertow of emotion in our lives that will take you places that you just don't want to go, right? Have you ever been caught in the ocean and in the undertow of the current? All of a sudden, because the power of that current, you're out in the ocean and you're someplace that you don't want to be, right? The water is over your head at this point, right? The current took you there. Unforgiveness is like that. It will take you places you don't want to be. You will find yourself saying things you never wanted to say. You'll find yourself doing things you never wanted to do, being the person you never wanted to be. Right? That's the danger of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness can destroy families, marriages, and careers. Right? It can destroy a person's spirit. When you hold on to a hurt, it becomes a hate. So you got to release it to God. You got to trust it into His hands. Instead of saying, I'm going to take revenge, you say, God, it's in your court now. Instead of saying, I'm going to be the judge, you say, no, God, it's in your hands. I release it to you. And when you forgive like that, it will set you free. There are two words in the Greek language the New Testament was written in for the word forgive. One, it means to offer the gift of grace. And two, it means to release and to set it free. You do both of those when you forgive. You're along with releasing and setting it free and giving it to God. You know, the world saw an incredible example of this in 2015 at the Bethel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. And we saw an example of genuine, honest, real forgiveness. You'll remember a young man walked into the church on that Wednesday night during a prayer and Bible study meeting, and he opened fire and killed 9 people. At the arraignment, the church showed up and expressed the kind of forgiveness that the world was not used to seeing. At the arraignment, Nadine Collier, whose mother was killed that night, said this to the shooter. She said, I forgive you. You took something very precious from me. You hurt me. You hurt a lot of people, but God forgives you, and so I forgive you. The New York Times wrote after the arraignment, it was as if the Bible study had never ended, as one after another, the victim's family offered lessons on forgiveness, testaments to a faith that is not compromised by violence or grief. The Wall Street Journal called it a miracle. Right? The simple truth of forgiveness is not something you do, it's something that God has done. Forgiveness is not a gift you give, it's a gift that God has given that we pass on to someone else. And once we understand that forgiveness is not about us, it's about God from beginning to the end, that's the truth that we hang on to. That's the truth of forgiveness. 3. I'm going to start with verse 12 and verse 13. It says this, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you for your word today. God, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for my sin. And God, would you help all of us this week understand and to practice the truth of your forgiveness as we just walk through each and every day. Give us opportunities, God, to forgive people. My prayer this morning is if you're here and you have somebody in your life that you need to forgive, God, I just pray that you would forgive them right now. Just release it to God. Forgive and release. God, thank you for your power of love and mercy. It's in Jesus' name that I pray.